Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 280, part 1, Promise 2. Today is Friday, February 22nd, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Today's message is entitled Promise 2, number 2. Friday night we ministered about Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac, born of a promise. And Ishmael, born after the flesh. And that the reason so many people have trouble in believing in the promises is because they haven't been given a clear picture of Jesus. He's been on a flannel board. He's been up on the wall with rosy lips, flabby arms, sort of melancholy looking. And then over here we'll have Elijah, Gideon, Samson, and as little children we ask, well, who should love a Jesus like this that lets people starve? And if we don't obey this and so will happen to us, and the teachers pound it in. That is not Jesus. When you see someone that's suffering, you're looking at Jesus. When you're looking at a starving, cross-eyed baby because of the malnutrition, you're looking at Christ. Get it down. So it matters who's watching. Jesus is watching. Those eyes of the starving multitudes, those are Jesus, and they are watching. So today, let's go back to Ishmael and Isaac. And the Bible says they had differing hopes. As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. Don't worry about Ishmael. I will multiply him abundantly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant, are you hearing this? Please hear it today. Oh, God, so many times we minister, nobody hears. They're locked up in an Arby's roast beef sandwich out there someplace. Now, we are talking about a starving world. Don't get into a Bible study in the middle of this. I will multiply him exceedingly. You on the radio, put down your Frito-Lay potato chips and your Pepsi and listen. That's who I minister mostly to, is radio. But listen, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time next year. Genesis 17, 20 through 21, and here's the scene. God had just spoken to Abraham about making him the father of many nations and changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Are you hearing this? And he changed also, the Bible says, his wife's name from Sarai to Sarah. Then he told Abraham he would give him a son by Sarah. And at this, of course, he fell out laughing. I am 100 years old, and she is 90. Lord, she's so headstrong, he probably thought. Who is going to break this news to her? Who is going to break it? Not I. And Abraham then said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. I mean, he's already here. Why not use what we have? Why push it? You in the church, you ever tried to use what you have when they haven't got the right spirit to do it? You listening on the radio, and you preachers that listen to this program, have you ever tried to use the Ishmaels, let's call them the Ishes, and they are of the flesh, and they do not wish to be used, and they're more concerned about how their hair looks, and their clothes look, and the worldly things than the divine things? Have you ever tried to use those folks? But let me go on. But God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call him Isaac, meaning laughter. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And that, my friends, you're the ones right out there. You are the descendants. Isn't that exciting? All that are born again and will be born again by the promise are the descendants of Isaac. I think that's exciting, don't you? Do you think that's exciting? Young man, do you think that's exciting? I think that's exciting. I will make your laughter a reality. Isaac, laughter. I will make it a reality. Let's, in other words, have the last laugh on the devil. I think it is not at all wonderful that two persons, so different yet in their births and nature as Ishmael and Isaac were, became very different in their hopes. And there are people that are different in their hopes. We all have hopes. To Isaac, the covenant promise became the number one hope. Oh, and that's the number one hope today of the world. That promise is the number one promise and the number one hope of the world today, a starving world. But for Ishmael, no such light, let's say, came on. Ishmael aimed at larger things, for he was the natural son of a great man. But Isaac, yeah, looked for even higher objects because he was the child of a promise. He was looking for divine things, higher things. I remember when I was born again, and this is 15 years ago now. And I left my business, and I left all that. I left those fleshy things. And I went for the divine things, a higher calling in Christ. That was my hope. Oh God, I hope I touch your hearts here today. You listening on the radio, you listening to this tape, maybe even in Africa, or China, or wherever it may go, that there is a covenant promise that you are the walking, talking epistles known and read of all men. That within you, you have that Christ in you, the hope of glory, that promise. And so, like Isaac, we look even for higher objects because we are the child of a promise. And the inheritor of the covenant of grace which the Lord had made with Abraham. Well, that's kind of like before we are born again. We have that Ishmael in us, and every once in a while it likes to rise up again, doesn't it? Looking for wealth, looking for fame, looking for excitement, looking for flesh pleasers. We have those flesh appetites. And you know something about the flesh? It is never satisfied. I was never satisfied when I had money. I wanted more money. I was never satisfied with one drink. I wanted two drinks. I was never satisfied with one cigarette. I had to have four packs a day. And have some in the freezer to keep them fresh. I was never satisfied with one pill to make me easy so I wouldn't be so queasy when I had to go down and talk to a banker or a lawyer. I had to have bottles in reserve. I was never satisfied with a new car. I had to have two cars, and I had to have a dune buggy and a motorcycle. The flesh is never satisfied. Never. There's always something that looks better on the other side of the fence. It's even worse, you say, when you're younger. Look at you. You're just an old bald-headed old man. Hey, once you let that to be ingrained in you, that divine nature, and you start working it out, actually physically doing something. Now, how do you get interested in something? By doing it. You don't do it, you'll never know. You don't put your Christianity to work, you'll never know how much fun it is to serve Christ. Until you pick up the burden, until you bear the cross, and follow me, Jesus says. Yeah. Once we're born again, like Isaac, receive the promise and are born into it. You're born into the promise. And when you understand that powerful position of faith rest, not faith wrestle, faith rest, you look for higher objects. You're looking for a higher thing. And then we start to bear the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Should we get into the gifts? No. See, you can have all those things if you don't have love. And I have them. I believe we all have them all, severally. Whom he ever wants to give them to. All of them at one time. But I think we need to pass by that now. And I think that a fruit of the Spirit is work, because the flesh doesn't want to do it. Does not want to do it. Let's say, for instance, young people, that 100,000 pounds of potatoes come in. Then we're all keyed up. Oh, we can do that. We can whistle while we work. You get out there, and after about a half hour or an hour, you know, those muscles start to give out a little bit. And you start kicking around out there. Oh, gee, I really should get home, you know what I mean? I don't know. Can you come back next week? Well, I can't promise anything. After all, I don't want to commit myself to anything because there might be something else going on. And then you go to this thing that's going on, you find out that's a drag. Commitment is the ticket. I don't care if it's in business. If you don't commit yourself fully to that business is going to flop all. Right? If you don't give it everything you have, it's going to flop. If you don't give Christianity everything you have and commit yourself, commit your ways unto the Lord. And there's a lot of fun in doing that. If you don't do that, you always live with something lacking. There's something missing in your life. God, I don't know what it is. There's something missing. Tried everything else. What is it? It's Jesus Christ in you working it out. Oh. Wow. Are you hearing this? Well, don't we all go through those little heartbreaks? Johnny-O, we get jilted, and Johnny-O with a flock of hair, he takes off. See, you put your mind on Christ, and God will bring you the right Johnny-O or the Mary Sue. But Ishmael, with his high, daring spirit, looked, it says in the Bible, to found a nation. A nation which would never give in or be subdued. And we're looking at that right now. Oh, we are so close to the end of the world. Even now as we sit here. Oh, are you going to talk about rapture? No, I don't get into that. In fact, you already should be raptured out, let's say, so to speak, or at least halfway raptured out of your flesh. You listening on the radio. A race, it says in the Bible, as untamable as a desert jackass. And, of course, as you can see, his earthly wish was abundantly granted. You buy your oil from it. The Arabs. The Arabs are the spitting image of Ishmael. We're talking flesh. We're talking jump on your camel and ride. His wish which was a narrow, narrow earthly wish, in life as in death, was fulfilled to the fullest and is being fulfilled even now. But on that roll up yonder, some people think that's corny when you say on that roll up yonder. Oh, glory to God. You want to be written up there, don't you? You could drop dead today. You listening on the radio. Don't get too puffed up. Someone might come put a pin in you. Pop goes a weasel. Isaac, on the other hand, he saw far ahead, even unto that day of Christ. He looked, the Bible says, to a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker are God. Ishmael had the best of what is below. You know, if you have the best of what is below, it can wear you out. Wear you out by the getting and the using and the fighting over what you have and what you don't have, paying for and holding on to, can wear you out. Everything you have down here, you got to hold on to it. You got a boyfriend, you got to hold on to him. And a girlfriend, you got to hold on to her. And a car, you got to hold on to that. And a house, you got to hold on to that. And an insurance policy, and you got to hold on to that. And you're always holding on. Let go. Let go. Learn to let go. Are you hearing this? Let go, folks. Let go of being Mr. Popular. God, he's so much fun. Oh, that's all right to be fun. But don't let your fun making be your God. And then you have to go home and say, no, what am I going to do to be funny? Didn't I? I used to be like that. Yeah, I got to be more funny. This is going to be a hard one to beat. Tonight I was the funniest ever. No, I got to beat that. That's a flesh thing. So you got to be Mr. Clown. Huh? You ever been Mr. Clown? And the whole witnesses are watching now, and Mr. Clown is carrying. It's okay to clown around once in a while, but don't be Mr. Clown or Mrs. Clown. And that's your big thing, being popular. Ain't she sweet when she's walking down the street? Popular. Be willing to lose your reputation for Christ. Be a weirdo. You want to cause? And say, I love Jesus, to your boyfriend. You're going out and so on and so on and so on. We won't go into it and so on and so on and so on. Or someone offers you a drink or take a little or something. Who knows? You're listening on a radio? Just look at him with those big blue eyes and say, I love Jesus. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I'm going to go down and pack potatoes at Pastor Paul's. Great idea. Let me get out of here. Super idea. Getting to you? Oh, God. That's what I'm all about, getting to people. Getting to the radio audience. That's about all that dares come down here. It's just a great thing that you kids are here today. Right now, your hubcaps are gone on your cars. That's what folks think. They think it's so strong, they're so in the flesh, and they're not in the spirit, they're afraid of their car. They can't even enjoy the message. God, I got my stereo, and that's a $400 stereo. I have a policeman sitting across the street just for people just like that. You hearing that on the radio? He guards this place because you're afraid. It's so great that you're down here today. Do you know what an encouragement that is that you're here today? I am encouraged beyond words. Well, that can't happen. But I mean, I'm encouraged. Well, give us a word then. Wonderful. There a song like that? Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. I think it's wonderful that all you Isaacs are down here today, and there's beginning a concern in the body of Christ. After 8 years, there's a concern, and some folks are coming down. Whoa! That's great, besides the cloud of witnesses. But Isaac, I think Isaac, let's say, like patience, waited for the best things, for the future things that moth, the Bible says, and rust cannot destroy. Did you ever have a car and you got it all bondoed up? Ah, boy, you rev the engine up, got a 327, and the pipes and the whole works and all, it just sort of vibrates when you pump on it. Huh? And about a year later, all the Bondo falls out of the thing. It ain't worth it. You take that buggy and fill it full of clothes or goods or whatever and make it of some use. Make it a vehicle for the Lord Jesus Christ. Cut off the roof. Put a great big box on it. Make it ugly. That moth and rust cannot destroy. Or do you, like you listening on the radio, do you, like Ishmael, want the best from below? Wait, who are you preaching to? This is the radio here. By faith, I preach into this radio, and people hear, and once in a while, they even send some money in. Once in a while. Do you, I said, radio audience, you listening to this tape, do you, like Ishmael, want the best from below? Well, what do you say is the best from below? What is the best thing from below? What is the thing you really, 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 really want from below? Something you wanted, oh, and you want it so bad, I could die for it. I could just die. Will you give that up for Christ? Will you give up your reputation? Jesus was a man of no reputation. I've lost mine several times. But I found out one thing, you build character. When you pick up the cause of Christ over what you really, 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 really want in the flesh, or at least you are willing to give that up. That's all God asks, is that you're willing. Then you become an Isaac. If so, you'll never be satisfied if you're like an Ishmael. And really, hasn't the world gone crazy looking for the best below? I remember going out to Disneyland. And got in there, and at that time, it was like $8 to buy this book of tickets to get in there. And you got in there and you were like cattle. They had a thing that went this way, and that's where you can get more people in there. And it went 6 feet this way with bars on it, and 6 feet this way, and 6 feet this way, and then you just sort of, you know, circle two-step through the whole thing. And after about an hour of baking in the sun, you got into a teacup. You ever been out there and sat in that teacup? Woo! 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 Okay, out. Well, that wasn't much. So he went to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing, and you spent all of this money out there, and you... Well, this wasn't a lot of fun. Maybe the kids had a little bit of fun. I don't know. They sure were mean. Didn't act like they were having a lot of fun. Pinching each other, hitting each other. flesh. Are you hearing this today? Or do you think I'm totally crazy? Well, maybe I am. I don't know. Bible says, be a fool for Christ's sake. Do I look foolish? Hope so. Are you hearing this? There's only another 2 hours left. Lock all the doors and windows. Nobody's getting out of here. Oh, no. We were going to a picnic. Are you listening on the radio? Are you listening? Did you get mad and turn me up? Turn me back on again, didn't you? Do you want the best, I said, from below? Well, if so, you'll never, ever be satisfied. We've gone crazy looking for temporary patch-ups that don't work. Jesus has to be first in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added on to you. Of course, then your desires change, so all the things you thought you wanted on your back, those monkeys on your back, aren't there? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hasn't the world become miserable? Oh, God, everybody is so miserable. We're hanging upside down in trees taking pictures of Gary Hart and spying on each other and oh, my. And really, who cares? Doesn't that look awful from the great cloud of witnesses with all the TV evangelists fighting and warring and turning into little issues? Short for Ishmaels? Well, the world is starving. When there is so much to do, why not just say we're sorry, we repent, and so what, and go on? They become miserable. A man called me the other day and he says, you know where it's at, Pastor? I heard you on the radio. You know where it's really at? Now, I'm 54 years old. He sounded like he was about 26, maybe 26 and 3 months, 2 days and 14 hours and so on. Younger than me, I'm trying to say. Success, he says, is where it at. Where it's at. Sex and money. Well, I said, right now, if you're thinking like that, there's so much AIDS going around. Woo. Woo. Somebody's knocking at our door. Woo. AIDS. Now, we have to change our whole language because there's AIDS. You can't say, would you give me some aid? We can't call people that help us our AIDS. Do you know right now we're sitting on top of a horrible, I remember it was about 2.5, maybe 3 years ago now. This AIDS came out. And it was like the Spirit of the Lord speaking to me and saying, hey, they covered this thing up. They whitewashed. All of a sudden, it isn't important now, and they had this guy on there, and he was white in his face. His lips were all white, and he was a Surgeon General's helper, or maybe it was even the Surgeon General. He was just talking like this. He was talking so fast. He was really concerned, you know, his lips were white. And he just had all down pat, and he had all the long words to go with it, and I didn't understand a word he said, but I do know one thing. He was afraid. Then all of a sudden, they quieted it all down. I thought, uh-oh. We are ready for an epidemic. We're ready for something to happen right now. Whew. Kind of forces us into a box. Either get on one side of the line, or you get over on the other side of the line. Either a goat over here with horns eating tin cans and garbage, We're your lamb over on this side. What's this other disease they got going around? Now there's some other kind of disease they have. I don't know, but the guy went down and he came back and said, "Pastor, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Oh, praise God. Oh, I'm so happy. I only have syphilis. I don't have AIDS. An arm is going to fall off or something, but not AIDS. Oh, God. Thank you, God. Thank you." Isn't that something? Now we're settling for one arm to fall off, or a leg, or your toes. There isn't a whole lot to do right now. Oh, Isaacs, raise up, hallelujah. If you're an Isaac, raise up right now. We have entered into sort of a carnival atmosphere of temporary living. Wandering around in the sawdust of life, from tent to tent, looking for excitement, like the carnival, hallelujah. Are you hearing it? Cheap thrills out there. You right now, people out there listening on the radio, and maybe you're snapping gum, and your mother's got this program on, and you don't want nothing to do with Christ. Go ahead, go in the other room. You're going to hear it, because I'm going to talk plenty loud enough. I said, living in the carnival atmosphere of this world, going from tent to tent, shuffling through the sawdust of cheap thrills and paid fun. You know, all of a sudden, when the circus leaves town, it's the same way with this atmosphere. All of a sudden, the tents are down, and all that's left is the animal dung and half-eaten Pronto Pups. Posters. Old posters with old dates. Maybe you're stuck with a little plaster sailor boy that cost you $50. And an empty pocketbook. And that's exactly the way it is in this Pinocchio world. Oh, God, Christians, how they need our help right now. God says, I want you to be salt. I don't want you to sit in your salt shaker until you lose your flavor. I don't want you to sit in there until you become hard and we can't shake you out. I want you to be salty. I want you to cause people to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Are you hearing this on the radio? But Isaac, his treasures were not in the tent or in the field, but in the things it says in the Bible, not seen as yet. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, or the heart conceived the wonderful things God has in store for all the Isaacs that dare to believe God. Hallelujah. You can't see them. They're invisible to your eye. But there are things happening right now. There are miracles taking place right now. In that, God gave us the promise in our old nature. Now we can see it here. I said one time, now you get these self-righteous people on the radio. You know, they always got that great big old long fingernail out there telling everybody they're going to go to hell. Well, I don't do that. And I'll tell you what being born again and according to the promise means. It means like this. If every time you sinned in your mind, there were bells to go off, I couldn't preach in here, and yet you're saved. Can you imagine? Every time you had a thought that wasn't just right? God, I'm so glad for that, aren't you? Shout hallelujah for the covenant on the new promise. Aren't you glad? Aren't you excited that God loves you so much that He overlooks all things, bears all things, endures all things, and never takes into account a wrong suffered? And even though that we are Ishmaels a lot of times, God already gave you that new covenant and you accepted it and that's what you go on? Isn't that wonderful? Don't you want to give it away? things not seen, I said. He had received, and you can receive that great covenant promise when you really receive the promise. And listen to me now. Your eyes are opened. Your appetites change. You're totally free from the law, the do's and don'ts, wills and won'ts, chants and shouldn'ts. You understand the grace of God. You totally realize your own wretchedness. And you start to appreciate what Jesus Christ has done for you. He did it all. You can't do nothing to add to it. You are then totally dependent on the promise, eternal life through Jesus Christ. Until you reach that point, you live in sort of a gray area. You learn that He is your love, He is your strength, He is your hope, He is your joy, He is your peace, He is your life. For me to live, the Bible says, is Christ. And when people really and truly receive the promise, and I say, the enjoyment of its hopes, it starts to influence their mind. This girl over here in the blue, her mind is influenced by Christ. I'm just picking you out. Maybe the rest of you, I'm not too sure about that. You're influenced. You're influenced. You're influenced. And maybe we have our little doubts and so on, but we are influenced. Anytime, preachers, you're listening on the radio right now, anytime a gospel preacher will pick up the seed of God, I said, that righteousness, that seed of Jesus Christ, it does something. Never, never think it doesn't do something. Never, preacher, think it doesn't do something. Never think that because you're in a ghetto area and you're down there and it doesn't look like nothing's happening to you, nothing, that something's happening. You never sow the seed, but something happens. And I don't care if it's even on a rocky heart, you listening on the radio, and you're just like stone. I'm not going to receive, not me, I think you're crazy. Well, that's all right. God didn't tell me not to throw it over on rocky ground. He didn't say, don't throw it over there where there's thistles and thorns and so on like that. He says, throw it out there. And it will do something. It will never come back void and spent and fall to the ground, but it will do what it's supposed to do. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Isn't that wonderful? Now you don't have to feel like a cornball. You don't have to sneak up on somebody and say, are you one of us? Like a secret agent or something like that? Huh? I remember one time, I was first saved, I started preaching, I ministered to thousands of young people just like you. We used to go to Catholic meetings out there, Mick and the people got saved those meetings. I go to all these Catholic churches, they put me down in the basement next to the mops. I go down there and minister to thousands and thousands of people. And oh, teenagers, they'd kind of laugh, you know, and carry on at first and so on like that. And I just keep ministering gospel, just like I'm ministering to you people right here today. Remember, there was a whole audience, about 500. I went in there and I thought, oh, God, here we go again. It is going to be a battle. And these kids were like 18 years old, ready to venture out. And I says, well, go ahead and make fun, laugh, snicker, carry on, do whatever you want. But I'm here to minister gospel. And that I will do. I started ministering gospel. Pretty soon, a little group over here started crying. What's going on? A little group over there started crying. Pretty soon, the whole place was coming forward towards me, and I thought, God, they're going to kill me. And they started walking up there. They had made an altar call without even knowing it. I don't remember saying anything, come to Jesus and come up there. And the whole group, because I was faithful to minister gospel and keep right on, the people started coming and coming, and 500 were facing me, and I led them all to know Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid of ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a covenant promise.
That was episode 280, part 1, promise 2. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be be the heavyweight champion of the world. You might be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe you're a construction worker working on a home, might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual bride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread, maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve.
It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. You may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. Still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.